I want to welcome everyone to our worship this morning. I am using the PowerPoint. It wasn't by choice, but Dan's a real persistent guy, you know. You can do it, nothing to it, you know. Y'all ever been on the receiving end of those? Sure you can, nothing to it. You can. So that's what we're going to do this morning. There might be a lot to it, but for the visitors, I sure hope you'll come back and hear Dan sometime. He is a good preacher. He's a good one. He is one of the best you'll ever hear. Don't take this morning to mean I don't need to go back to that church. You know, I'm not a preacher, but Dan's pretty persistent, and we're told to use our talents, right? Even if that's one, and even if it's not much of one, then we're to use it. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning. I hope you will come back with him. He's really a great preacher, really does a lot for this church. He did a whole lot. He told me how to turn this on, and I've got to remember that I do that first. But he has made me a PowerPoint this morning. What I'm preaching on is seven reasons why people give up. Have you ever known someone who was a faithful servant of God, but they just quit? They just quit coming to church? At one time, they were devoted to Christ, but through time, they just drifted back into a sinful world. Perhaps they were once faithful in attending, but they just don't come to church anymore. And this can happen to anyone. It's not just people who come on Easter and Christmas. It's also for teachers, song leaders, deacons. I know a guy that was a preacher at one time that doesn't even attend church anymore. And if we think about it, we can see that this happens, and it happens quite often. We probably all know someone, if not several people, who have just stopped coming to church. They've stopped living the Christian life. While they were once a devout Christian, they're no longer faithful. They no longer live for Christ. So what should we do when we have friends or family that have drifted away from God? We see it happen. One of the things that we need to do is listen to their problems. People want people to listen to them when they have troubles. We need that. That's what friends are for. Our good friends are there for us. We hear that. And in times of trouble, we need to be a friend that will listen. And we can't help someone if we're not their friend, if we don't listen. But I found that it also helps if we're listeners who actually know the Bible and actually know some things where we can comfort them. You know, the Lord said this, the Lord said that. You know, that's not always easy, but it's needed. And many times people have to hit rock bottom before they'll listen to you. They don't always listen to us when we try to help them. And it's hard enough that we're trying our best and really don't know what to do. But if we love them, we'll continue to try. And if we know the things that cause people to fall away, then I think it can help us in those times when we're trying to talk to them. So this morning I want us to look at seven reasons that people do give up being a Christian. Some just simply drift away. In Hebrews 2 and 1, the Bible tells us we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we won't drift away. Scripture tells us that we can definitely drift away. And if we're not paying attention, we can be just like what Dan's put up here, just drifting along and not realize where we end up. We'll be somewhere we didn't plan on being before we know it. That's what happens when we don't pay attention. It's a gradual thing. 1 Corinthians 10:12 tells us, it gives us fair warning, as it says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. You see, we have to be careful. We can't just think, oh, everything's fine from now on. Once we become a Christian, Satan's after us. He's got us before that. But once we become a Christian, we must be very careful and pay attention so we don't fall, as it says here in this verse. Verse 13 goes on to say that the temptations that we face, not that you might face, The temptations we face are common to man, but God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But we have to pay attention. We have to realize that we're drifting away. He will provide a way out if we realize it and come back to Him. We see here that people are definitely going to be tempted. Many times we give them to temptations, little things. Well, that's a little sin. I'll do this. And we just get a little further from God each time we do it. Those temptations add up, and they take us from God. And we should be there for one another. When we see, you see me doing it, let me know. We need to be there for each other. That's what friends do for each other. If you love someone, you help them. But some fall away unbelieving. They may have become a Christian for a while, but they went back to living a worldly life where they're no longer really serving God or wanting to live as a Christian. You know, one of the big things in the world today is, well, times have changed. You know, that's not how it is. You know, times have changed. You got to change with the times. That's believing somebody besides God, isn't it? God told us what He wants. We're unbelieving if we start following anything else. Hebrews 3, 12 through 14 says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." We've come to share in Christ, here's a big word, if. We just look at those two letters and pass it up a lot. But we've come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. Believe in Christ. Don't be unbelieving. We can't allow people in the world to confuse us with all kinds of false teachings. There's false teachers out there everywhere. And people have changed through the years. I'll agree with that. But God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He said back then still applies today. If God said it, we need to believe it. Unbelievers, if we'd read the Bible, we see that they will not go to heaven. We don't want to be an unbeliever. Some people simply fall away because of boredom. They think living the Christian life is boring. They enjoy those sinful things. You know, I'm bored now, kind of like this guy over here sitting in church, you know. If you like that when Dan's here, you got problems. You know, today, well. But some people live a life of boredom. I don't enjoy doing that because I'm a Christian. I want to do this and do other things. They want the hustle and bustle of a fast life and live life on the edge. But that's not what we're Christians. We're supposed to live life for Christ. Satan's going to dangle all kinds of sinful things in front of us. He wants us to see all these things that are so appealing. They look great if that's where your heart is. We need to remember those are temporary things. They're sinful things. They're things that will lead us to hell. We need to be devoted to Christ. It's not a boring life to live as a Christian. If you're bored, there's plenty up here to do. I can promise you that. Dan can find you something to do. He'll have you preaching if you're not careful. You know. You will not get bored if you really want to serve. Hebrews 6 and 1 tells us, "Therefore, let us leave elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity." If you mature in Christ, you won't be bored. Just staying as an elementary, as a babe in Christ, yeah, you might get bored because you don't know anything else. You don't see anything. You're not trying to do something. But adults don't just sit around waiting on others to wait on them all the time. We've got lives to live. As mature Christians, we should be the same way. And if we're a servant, we won't be bored. Some fall away because of laziness. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12 tells us, "We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy." See, that's in the Bible. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience will inherit what's been promised. See, if you're lazy, we're not going to get that. Some people become Christians, but they don't want to put forth any effort at all. I don't want to do anything for the church. I don't want to do anything. And they don't do anything in their Christian lives. We live in a country where everything comes easy. You know, we can gripe about the water because we have to boil it, but we're not out here having to pull it up at a well or go to a creek and get it. We gripe because we have to wash clothes, but we put them in a washing machine to do it. It's work, but it's not near what it could be. We're a lazy society. I'll tell you, one of my favorites is go to a restaurant and eat. You don't have to cook it. You don't have to clean up afterwards. You just enjoy it. That's a life of laziness right there. You know, I like it. You know, it's nice. You don't even have to clean up. But as a Christian, that's not how we should live. We can't have lazy lives as a Christian. Many times we'll say, boy, I wish I knew more of the Bible. How much are we studying it? Oh, do we really wish we knew more? How much do I open it at home? I'll tell you what, you can come up here and listen to Dan and you can learn every time he preaches or teaches a class. I want to know more about the Bible, but I won't show up on Sunday morning. Or I won't show up on Sunday night. Say, if you're not going to read it at home, at least come up here and learn from somebody else that's doing their best to teach us. That's laziness. As Christians, we cannot be lazy people, or we will not learn a thing. Some fall away because they get overextended, get involved in too many things. And in this easy life we've got, it's real easy to get involved. We're warned about this in Hebrews chapter 12 in the first two verses. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tells us, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. See, not all these overextended things. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews tells us to get rid of everything that hinders us and to fix our eyes on Christ. And it's very easy for us to get too many irons in the fire. We can be in everything before we know it, and we get overextended. And many times people get so overextended, when you've had enough, you've got to cut something loose. Many times we can see what's really important by what we cut loose. Are we going to skip church for other things? Or are we going to skip those other things for church? We need to be careful. It's very easy to get overextended and we've drifted away without ever even realizing it. Self-pity causes us to fall sometimes. And you might think, self-pity? But there's people who get to feeling sorry for themselves because it's so hard to do what's right. And this happened to me or that happened to me. And sometimes we may think God's expecting too much from us. You know, Satan is going to always try to get us. I have tried and tried to memorize Bible verses. Anybody who's known me very long knows I don't have that good a memory. My mind, I just cannot memorize stuff good. But I try and I try, and then Satan will be saying, I don't know why you're trying to do this. You know you're not going to remember it. And he's right, you know, for the most part. But each time I learn a little more. And I'll say, boy, I wish I could do that. We do all have different talents. God has allowed some people to have better memories than others. Some are song leaders. Some are better at calling and checking on people. Some are Dan's a wonderful preacher. Different people have different talents. But we can't have self-pity when it's not what we choose. God chose those for us. In Hebrews 12, 3 through 4, We're told to consider him who's endured such opposition from sinful men so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, see, it's a struggle. In your struggle against sin, you hadn't resisted yet to the point of shedding your blood. No matter how much we struggle in this life and feel sorry for ourselves, we hadn't been through what Jesus gave. Jesus was put to death on the cross. Not for something he did. He could have had self-pity, but he went ahead willfully. He did what God wanted him to do. And he was killed. We don't really realize it, but it was in one of the worst ways imaginable. Can you imagine a nail being driven through your skin? I don't even want to be poked with a pen or a needle. I don't want a shot. I mean, it was terrible. Beaten. You know, we feel sorry for ourselves when the going gets a little tough. We need to remember that this reward is great, but with that reward comes a struggle. You know, somebody who's training for the Olympics, they don't just win the Olympics without preparing for it. There's a lot of people that never make it. Well, it's the same way with Christianity. We must prepare. We must be willing. And it's going to be tough at times. We can't start feeling sorry for ourselves. Paul said in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the joy and the glory that's to be revealed for us." We need to stand firm even when things are hard. But last of all, some fall away because they misunderstand God. There are many in this world who think they're doing right, but they're going by the teachings of men. Hebrews 12:5-7, we're told, and you've forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. See that? The Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? It doesn't mean he's being mean to us. He's just trying to keep us doing right. And sometimes that takes discipline. Just as it did with our kids. There were times we had to do things to keep them going right. We have to make sure that we don't get upset and misunderstand what God's doing in our lives. When things don't go the way we want, we shouldn't blame God. God knows everything, and he's going to know what the final outcome will be. And many times those things that we're praying so hard for are not what's in our best interest. We might misunderstand and think that we know more, but that's not true. We need to make sure that we stay close to Christ and not worry about the other things. Make sure that we follow Christ's teachings and commandments. That's what we follow, not those of man. Jesus came to this earth as a man, and he was tempted in every way that we are. And that makes him a great Savior, because he's been there. And on the day of judgment, he understands. He's been tempted like that. But Jesus didn't give in to his temptations. He led by example, and as Christians, we should lead by example too. You know, the apostles followed Christ's example. They didn't have a good life doing it, but that's looking at earthly short-term benefits. Their long-term benefits are going to be wonderful. Peter was preaching Christ when he talked to those in Acts chapter 2. And when the people asked, well, what do we do to be saved? He told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's easy to understand, but there are those in this world who try to say, well, that's not what he meant. You know, God didn't write this Bible to confuse us. He put it in there where we would know exactly. We shouldn't misunderstand. Peter knew that some would fall away. Over in 2 Peter 3:17, he tells them, be on your guard so that you won't be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Satan's going to try to confuse us into thinking we can do other things instead of putting Christ first. He confused Eve, and he's been doing it ever since. And he'll get us too if we're not careful. Are you putting Christ first? Have you drifted from God, as we saw, or become lazy or bored? Or have you become overextended to where you no longer put Christ first, but I'm going to choose this instead of going to church, or instead of studying, or instead of doing something else that we should be doing? Have you allowed yourself to get in self-pity because things just aren't going right in life? It's easy to do. It happens to all of us. If we're not very careful, Satan's used these for years. He knows what works. But have you misunderstood what it takes to even be saved in the first place? None of this matters if we're not a Christian to start with. Do you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior? Really believe it, that He's your Savior and the one who brings salvation. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. You see, not just those who accidentally do it today and then come back Easter and come back Christmas. Those who seek Him. We live it every day. Have you repented of your sins and been baptized like Peter told the people in Acts 2:38? If so, are you remaining faithful? Revelation 2:10 tells us to be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Are we faithful? If not, there's no better time than right now to make things right with God. If you need to be a Christian, you need the prayers of the church, or if there's anything we can help you with, if you would, please come as David leads us in song.